Time now for What's the Story with Joy Lazendorfer. Good morning, Joy. How are you?
Good. I'm so happy it's fall.
Yeah, well, in name only, because it's going to be like 101 on Sunday. Sorry to burst your bubble.
We can't catch a break, can we?
I know. So you have a guest on today.
I do. Iris Jamal Dunkel is here, and she has just released her long-awaited biography on Charmian Kittredge London, who is Jack London's wife. Iris, welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, one of my favorite places in Sonoma County is the Jack London Park in Glen Ellen, where Jack London lived at the end of his life. And if you don't remember, Jack London is the author of The Call of the Wild and White Fang and was one of the biggest authors of his day. But his wife, Charmian, has been sort of historically written off or ignored. You know, generally the impression has been that she was kind of a clingy and insecure person, but it turns out that that's not true at all. Charmian was a very accomplished person. She was a world traveler, an equestrian, a writer, and a journalist. And I learned from your book that there is a reason that we remember her incorrectly, and it has to do with Jack London's first biographer, Irving Stone. So tell us what happened, Iris. How did Charmian end up sort of forgotten and distorted by history?
Sure. So right when she met Irving Stone, Charmian had just gone through like this devastating accident. She was a real equestrian. She rode all over the place, and she was up on Sonoma Mountain riding, and her horse shied, and she fell off, and the horse rolled over her, and she nearly died. And so she was just kind of coming back from that, and this guy shows up, Irving Stone, at the House of Happy Walls, and offers to write a biography about his hero, Jack London. And in the meantime, he's also wining and dining her. He's like, he's 33 years old, and she's in her 60s. Mm-hmm. And he's like, let's go out dancing in San Francisco. And he's like acting, you know, he's admiring her work as a writer and taking her seriously as a writer, which by the time she's in her 60s, she's starting to be forgotten. And so she was just like, oh, okay. And so she ended up signing away her rights to edit and to edit any of the things that he wrote about her. And through this kind of, you know, his whining and dining of her. And he ended up writing this biography that totally condemned her and Jack, and started this misinformation about her as this kind of, you know, airhead who really hindered her husband's career more than helped it. Mm. And when she was so mad about the way that he breached her trust, that she burned a lot of her early diaries and locked away most of her documents in the Huntington Library, and they were not available for, like, you know, until quite recently.
Wow. So you're the first person to really give Charmian the attention that she should have had all along. So tell me a little bit about Jack London and Charmian's relationship and how it started. I know he was married at the time, and it was quite the scandal, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Well, they actually met in 1900 when Charmian was working as a stenographer in San Francisco, and she had an assistant, and her aunt had her meet him for lunch one time down by the ferry building. And she was, you know, she was like not that impressed with him. And then they started meeting up at her den, which is the apartments that she rented in Berkeley. And they started to have this like intellectual affair where they just really were connected. But then he just like one day just went off and married this woman named Bessie Mattern. And so Charmian was like, all right. And so she went off and traveled the world. And when she came back, she got invited to this gathering at Jack's house, where he would get together with a bunch of friends, and they'd drink a lot, and go figure. And she ended up going one night, and he challenged her to a fencing duel. So she learned how to fence when she was in at Mills College, going to school. And so she put on her fencing gear, and she was like, all right, let's do this. And so usually when Jack, who used these, you know, these gatherings as a place to like meet the ladies, usually the woman he's fighting or, you know, whatever he's brawling with would just back down and be like, oh, you know, but Charmian didn't. She like totally kicked his butt. And he was so impressed with her, he like ran over and kissed her. And so that began their, you know, they started kind of seeing each other on and off for a while. But yes, well before he was married, they were instantly really attracted to each other, both intellectually and physically.
Well, and you got to read their love letters. What was it like to read the love letters between these two people?
Oh my gosh, they were so intense. They were just over the top in love. And my favorite quote is when Jack Lennon told Charmian, he's like, "I want to grow old with you. I want to be your sexy grandpa."
Your sexy grandpa. That's so funny. Oh my goodness. Who would think back in the, you know, back in the day? Well, so,
I know.
Yeah, Jack called Charmian his mate woman, and she called him her mate man, and she was involved in everything in their lives. They traveled together, they built the ranch together, and she was even involved in his writing, which I don't think many people know. So tell me a little bit about Charmian's involvement with Jack's writing. What was their system or schedule when they were writing?
So this is one of the most important things I bring about in the book, and that's the fact that Charmian was a published writer even before she met Jack. She was a writer. And they started working together on their projects, beginning with The Seawolf, which is one of Jack's most acclaimed novels. She was a stenographer, and she worked in an office setting for a long time. And so she would work with him to help him editing and typing up his works. And then as they went further and further along, she started to contribute to some of his writing. So there are passages, for example, in The Valley of the Moon, which is his novel about, you know, Sonoma County. They're huge passages that she actually wrote. And she, I uncovered in her diaries where she acknowledges that.
Wow, I didn't know that. Oh, that's really interesting. And, you know, he was a complicated person. You know, he was moody and he drank a lot, as you mentioned. Can you talk about that, the darker side of his personality and how Charmian handled it?
Definitely. You know, I think he was one of those people that just was the center. You know, he had so much creative energy and was so excited about life, right? You had to kind of follow his lead. And I think for Charmian, she did that for most of their life together. And he was a drinker, but what really, really bothered her was his smoking. Mm-hmm. He smoked, like, this is when, back when it was Lucky Unfiltered came in like 10 a pack, you know, 10, mm-hmm. 10 per pack, and he'd smoke like 4 of those a day. And so she was really annoyed with that. Mm-hmm. And it was just that she wasn't able to have the full independence that she wanted as a person while they were together, because his life, his personality was so demanding. And so he was also really moody. You know, he was, they had a wonderful relationship. They loved each other very much, but it was always on Jack's terms. And that was something that became exhausting to her towards the end when he got very sick.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, and then she went on and lived another 40 years after he died, and she had a very full life. And, I mean, I wish I could talk to you all. Well, let me ask you about this. She had an affair with Harry Houdini, who she called her magic lover, which I thought was hilarious. So tell me just really quickly a little bit about that. How did they meet, and what was the situation with Harry Houdini?
So this is everyone's favorite question, right? Who doesn't want to know about, you know, an affair with a magician like this? So it happened when Charmian actually met, they met Houdini when Jack was still alive, and they went to one of his shows, and they all hit it off. And so when Jack died, Houdini sent Charmian a letter just to say, you know, "I'm really sorry for your loss. If you're ever in New York, let me know." And so when she went to New York to start working on, she was going to write Jack's biography, the book of Jack London. And so she was working with the publishers there. And so she told Houdini, and she went to visit him. So she went to his show, and they immediately felt, you know, they were very attracted to each other. And Charmian went to all of his shows. They would meet up. But Houdini was married, which was something that didn't bother Charmian that much, as you can see by her her affairs.
Yeah.
But at the same time, she had just come into her independence, you know, like after Jack died, she was able to start publishing a lot and really focusing on not only publishing her work, but getting all of Jack's work published and keeping it in circulation. And so Houdini got really clingy really fast. They only had a couple weeks of an affair. And he was like, I'm going to leave my wife. You know, I'm in love with you. And she was like, oh, whoa, hold up. No, I already did that. So they ended up staying friends and correspondence until Houdini died. But
wow.
It wasn't a long affair.
Wow, wow. Well, that is fascinating. Charmian must have been quite something to have all these famous men falling in love with her. Well, thank you, Iris. This has been great. Thanks for coming on my little segment here.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
And the book is called Charmian Kittredge London, Trailblazer, Author, Adventurer by Iris Jamal Dunkel. All right.
Sounds fascinating.
Thank you, Andre.
Wow, that just sounds amazing. And so I'm going to look into that and get that book as well. Joy, thank you so much. We've been listening to What's the Story with Joy Lazendorfer. And for our Crush listeners, if you missed part of the interview or you'd like to hear it again, just go to krsh.com. We've got a podcast section in one of our drop-down menus, and that should get posted probably late morning, early afternoon. Joy, thank you so much, and I'll look forward to speaking with you next week.
Well, thank you.
Great. And thank you, Iris. Take care.
Thank you.